We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 192. Game 5 recap. The Yankees remain undefeated at home. They are one freaking win away from the 2017 World Series. I almost can't believe it as I am saying it to you right now.
I got chills as you said it. It was I haven't heard that out loud, so that was the first time that it actually sounded like a real thing. This team is unbelievable at home. I don't know what else to say about that. They are a different animal when they play in the Bronx. Again, hats off to the people who went to the game. That place was freaking on fire again. You could see it. You could see it. It looked like everybody was standing the entire time. That team feeds off of the energy in that place more than any team I have seen in a long time. It's unbelievable.
And because it is now a known thing that the Yankee fans are back and that place is rocking like it's the 1990s again, everybody who's going to the next game doesn't want to have it be quiet. So they're extra loud to one up the game before. And it's perfect. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it used to be too. There's always like, you got to keep it up and it's got to stay up the entire game. And that's exactly what was happening. And you could see them feed off it. I mean, how about that emotion from Tanaka? It was all over his face at every single big moment. This guy was fired up.
You can see that from him. You never knew
that he wanted it like more than he's ever wanted anything in his life.
So obviously it was a game one rematch. Keuchel, who has just absolutely shoved the Yankees bats down their throat time after time, versus Tanaka, who has been freaking on fire in this postseason. The whole Yankees pitching staff since that first game of Severino in the wildcard game has been on fire. We have some stats later in the show.
Ever since the Blue Jays.
The 15 strikeout game that I chalked up to the Blue Jays just wanted to go tee off because their season was done.
Yeah, but guess what? It was real. It was real.
But as far as the momentum goes in the crowd, that as long as the Yankees are winning, as long as that it's a close game, they're going to be in it. But there was a real danger tonight that they wouldn't have anything to cheer about because of Dallas Keuchel. But the Yankees bats did not allow that to happen. Yeah, Keuchel made strike out 9 guys by the end of his outing, 8 or 9 guys. So he still had good stuff. But the Yankees were putting much better at bats together. They were squaring them up. Obviously, Bird with the rope single, Judge with the RBI double. So they got to him with runners on base, which is something they have not been able to do ever against him. That got the crowd extra fired up. And then Tanaka went to work. He had one little old jam that he struck out Josh Reddick, and that was it.
So Keuchel had 8 strikeouts, but he gave up 7 hits. That was the beauty of it. They were actually making contact with his pitches.
Classic 2017 Yankees.
No, absolutely.
They strike out a lot. We know that.
But the other thing is that they were getting hits that weren't all home runs. I mean, they were actually moving runners. They were hitting gaps. They were doing things that you need to do to win in the postseason and not just hit home runs. And that's what we've seen over the past few wins. These guys are scoring runs in other ways besides just hitting the home run. And that's massive. These guys are actually hitting for average and driving each other in and hitting in positions where you need to hit with runners on scoring when runners are in scoring position. So it's been a team effort as far as the offense. It hasn't just been one or two guys hitting bombs. Yes, those guys are hitting bombs, but the rest of the team is also contributing. So it's beautiful.
Listen to these numbers. I saw this graphic flashed on Fox, and I did a triple take because I have never seen numbers like this out of these Yankees bats. In the postseason with 2 outs, hitting .298, which is phenomenal as a team. 2 outs with runners in scoring position, .375.
That's freaking
375 with runners in scoring position and 2 outs.
That's ice through your veins. That is just clutch hitting out of everybody. Apparently, Didi has taught the entire team how to hit the clutch, so now they all know how to do it. It's beautiful. They, every time they're up to in a big moment, I'm expecting a hit. It's like you could tell that these guys are all confident and they're expecting a hit. There's a mindset going on with this team right now, and the mindset is, we can't lose. We are better than everybody. We are loose. We're confident. And they all believe in each other. If one dude doesn't do it, they all legitimately believe. And I'm not just saying this. They legitimately believe that that next guy is going to get the job done. And guess what? When you're looking at the .375 with 2 outs, runners in scoring position, it's actually happening.
It's actually happening. And it was great to see today, like we saw Judge in games 3 and 4 start to have better at-bats. It was great to see Gary Sanchez release his Kraken. The single off of Keuchel, he had struck out 5 straight times against Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel had absolutely eaten him up on inside cutters and inside breaking balls. Gary just could not figure him out. He gets that was it a single or a double? I don't think he got to second base on it, right? On the ball down the left field line?
I don't think he did, no.
But that made it 3-0, and then Didi tacked on after that, knocked Keuchel out of the game, as my dad texted me, knocked his ass back to the Civil War era. It was awesome to see Gary Sanchez also come around, because if you got Judge and you got Gary Sanchez clicking at the same time, this offense might be the best in the league. That's how good those two hitters are. That's how good this offense is when those two hitters are going.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, especially with the way that the Yankees pitching staff is rolling right now. I mean, the unsung hero of this entire team. It's the starting pitching. The starting pitching has been unbelievable in this Houston series. I mean, we talked about when they're in Houston and they only give up 4 runs. You know, you're looking to come out of there with a split, right? You see those numbers. You're looking to come out with a split. They pitched very well in Houston. It just has continued. Into this series, everybody has delivered a good start. Sonny Gray probably being the worst of them all, but still pretty good. And when you have that, to add it with the bullpen that's lights out, who's been very underworked right now. Like, these guys are ready to go. And then you also add in an offense that's clicking on all cylinders. Man, tough to beat. It's a scary team right now. Nobody wants to come against this team. And Houston's scared to death right now, I guarantee it.
Starting pitchers ERA, not including Severino's wild card start. Obviously, you have to include that. But after that happened, 2.33 ERA in the postseason.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's, and it was
against the best two teams in the American League, 100 win teams, the Indians and the Astros. The Astros were the best offense in baseball, outscored the Yankees by like 40 runs. This is a murderer's row type offense. That's what we were gearing up for. Boom, 2.33 ERA.
And they're absolutely controlling the top of the order. You look at what Springer and Reddick have done. They've done nothing.
Zippo.
Literally, no, I don't think Springer has a hit. Does he have a hit?
No. Springer has 2 hits. Reddick has no hits.
Reddick is the one that doesn't have any. So two hits out of the top 2 guys. Then you throw in Altuve in there, who's been definitely so kept at bay in New York. And Correa, who's kept
order.
At bay.
The middle of that order, I think, is having solids here. Gurriel is probably having the best series.
Gurriel's probably definitely having the best series of anybody.
Yeah, but Altuve was on base a ton in those first 2 games. Correa had a hit late in today's game. The middle of the order has been doing okay for Houston, but they're hitting with the bases empty the entire time. So, fine, you give up a 2-out single to Altuve, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's perfect. That's what you want to do. You got to limit those guys on base so that they have nothing to set the table for. And when you're doing that, I mean, it was a different story in Houston. These guys, some of them, they were getting on base and they got timely hits. It's not like they were getting a ton of hits. They were just getting timely hits, and it happened late in the game. And it was Altuve and Correa doing the damage in Houston. Just not happening here. It just the two of them did a lot of the damage themselves.
Well, that's the thing. It's the Houston Astros, for as bad as their offense has been, it's still, they're a different team at home, just like the Yankees are a different team at home. So it's not going to be easy. I thank God they only have to win one of those games in Houston, because if they were going to have to win game 6 and 7, I was almost going to say it's not doable. It's obviously doable to just win one of these 2 games, but it's not going to be easy, because this Houston offense, I think, is a different type of animal at home.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how Severino goes out there and throws, because this is a different type of pressure, I think, when you're going away at Houston on a game that you can clinch. To me, that's a different type of pressure. Obviously, you're getting to the World Series, you're away, so you're going to be feeling the crowd on the road as well, and going up against Justin Verlander. I mean, there is a good amount of pressure, because you know, you don't want it to go to a game 7 if you can, obviously. If you could control that, because anything can happen in a game 7. I mean, there's so many weird things that can happen in a game 7 because the kitchen sink will be thrown at them. But that's going to be a really, really good start for Severino to come out and just prove himself once again, saying, yep, this is me, I'm the guy, and put out a really good start against that team. That's the guy I want in that game, because you catch lightning in a bottle. I mean, he's definitely the most dominant starter on this team.
You're right. This is the first time the Yankees have actually led in one of these postseason series.
Yeah, it feels weird.
They have always either been in an elimination game or playing catch up.
Yeah, it's a different position for these Yankees. The entire time they've had their backs against the wall, and even when they're in New York, we said at one point that the home field advantage has flipped, and that's the beauty about when you have such a strong home field advantage, and you're the road team. I mean, you're coming in with that three game string in the middle. It's almost a disadvantage to the team that had the better record. It is.
They got two games at home right now.
Yeah, so. But they're in an elimination game right now. They're in an elimination game going back home. That's a big deal.
As far as pressure goes on the Yankees, I mean, I think as far as pressure goes, they've gotten it all out of their system. They've gone through four elimination games at this point. They went to Cleveland in a game five facing the guy who's going to be the Cy Young and Corey Kluber on the road. And they nutted up for that. The offense got it done. So yeah, Verlander may have been dominant in game two, but they've seen him now. They saw him for nine innings. I expect a lot better at bats from this team. And believe me, Verlander's going to be out there until his freaking arm comes off because that bullpen is trash. Houston does not want to go to their bullpen. Maybe Giles at the end. But other than that, that's Verlander's game for 150 pitches.
Oh, yeah. Verlander will throw until his arm falls off. There's just no doubt that he's their best option at 160 pitches. their bullpen is nothing. And I think they finally realized that. The only time that they actually did have well, I mean, Giles did pitch well at home. I don't know if that makes a damn difference with this guy, if this offense is still clicking the way it is. It'll be really interesting to see how this Yankees offense plays in Houston now that they've kind of gotten on a little bit of a streak. And, you know, if this if the offense can also travel, you know, with them, if these guys can actually stay hot. I wish there wasn't a day off tomorrow because I just want to keep playing every single day so that these guys can stay hot. I feel like any time off is a bad thing for this team.
Yeah, that's what Smoltz was saying at the end of the broadcast. There was a day off in the travel, and they stayed hot going into Cleveland. So I really think that this team is at the point where they're just so confident, like you said,
that
kind of little shit just is not going to bother this team at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think me as a fan is more worried about that. I just want to get this thing going. Let's just keep going.
Get it over with.
Let's just go. Yeah, yeah. The anxiety is not stopping. This day is not helping the anxiety. So let's just keep rolling here. No, these guys are probably all fine. They're like, yeah, good. I have a day off. I can travel and chill. And then, you know what? We're going to go in and play confident because that's what they are. They're a confident freaking group of guys. And they all believe, even if someone's bad, even if someone's doing bad on a given day or in a given at bat, they have the confidence that guy's going to come back on the next time. And I love it. It's so freaking huge that they all have each other's back in like in a very real way. It's not freaking lip service. It's real.
You know, when I knew this was good stuff for game five, when I saw that Andy Pettitte was throwing out the first pitch, which I called on last night's podcast.
Yes, you did. It was a pretty easy guess. Congratulations. I went a little out there and I said brocious because I thought that was maybe, I don't know.
That was a bad guess.
It was a bad guess. You knew Houston, that Pettitte was in town. That was unfair game. But I was a little worried when I saw that you were right. I'm not going to lie. I was a little worried that you did get it right because of the walking jinx, because of the fact that Pettitte is linked to potentially working for the Marlins. There were just some things that were bothering me with the Tanaka start. None of that mattered because Tanaka pitched lights out, and none of that stuff matters in real life anyway. So
let's talk about Tanaka, who now this is what his third start in the postseason, and he's been fantastic every time. He's gone seven innings in each of his three starts.
I mean, the fact that he's going the distance, you know, I was worried about this one. I don't know if you were if you got any sense of, you know, maybe this is going to end a little shorter than we had hoped in the fifth inning when he had two runners on. I didn't want to pull him in the fifth inning, but I wanted Girardi to get somebody up. And he waited, I think, until that the next batter had started when there was a runner on first and second. I'm like, you got to get somebody up right now. It was a 2-0 lead at that point. There's no reason to mess around. Like, if Tanaka all of a sudden is not locating, he left a couple balls out over in the middle of the plate that were missed, that were fouled off and not hit, but looked like they could have been. I was looking at that, but he bounced back. He threw a really good fastball on the outside corner to, I think, Springer. And struck him out, and then he came back and struck out, I think, Reddick the next play.
Reddick on the splitter.
So unbelievable. Like, he bounced back. There was the, you know, he faced a bit of adversity, and he came back, and then it was phenomenal for the next two innings.
Yeah, I wonder if they had gotten to Altuve, if Altuve had come to the plate, what Girardi would have done there.
Yeah, it's interesting, because they had Canley warming up. So Canley, obviously, is the guy who came in and threw two innings, but he was warming up also in the fifth for if Tanaka. And I thought that was smart. I'm glad. Like, as soon as I tweeted it, I saw one of the beat writers say that Canley was up. So that made me feel good because Joe was right there with me, right there saying, okay, just in case I see something else bad, because maybe he saw that same slider that hung over the plate. We're going to get into Canley and we're not going to mess around with this 2-0 lead. You got to hold that lead at this point, right? Like, that's it. You have a chance right now to take a 3-2 lead in this series. You do everything possible that you can do to get that lead.
Yeah. I think it would have been a real big question. I think he would have let him face Altuve, but I don't think he would have let him face Correa, because at right. that point it probably would have been 2-1 and bases loaded. So,
and Correa is a lot more of a home run threat going up against Tanaka than Altuve.
But that was the only trouble. That was the only jam that Tanaka worked out of jams that weren't his fault in the first couple innings. Frazier boots the ball in, what was that, the second inning?
Second inning? Something like that. It was early, yeah.
It was early in the, it might have even been the first inning where Frazier booted the ball. I was listening to John and Susan at that point. I hadn't left the office yet. But then when that pop-up to lead off the third inning that no one could catch for whatever reason, also had to work out of that jam.
Yeah, it was an in-between ball. Everybody was on Castro for whatever reason. That's not Castro's ball. He drifted pretty far back. It was Hicks's ball. Hicks pulled up. Whatever.
He pulled the camera, Maben?
It doesn't matter. It wasn't that bad, but he was looking at Castro like he thought Castro had it. So I don't know if they were talking to each other or not talking. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Everyone's been hitting on Castro. And look at the error he had in game four, and he's been pretty bad at the plate for a lot of this series.
Yeah, he got a hit today, but he's an easy target right now. He's an easy target, but he shouldn't be, because you know what? Tomorrow he could be a freaking hero, or Friday he could be a hero. You just don't know. These guys are going that good that one of these guys is bad, all of a sudden they're going to be really good, and then you're all going to be hating life, hating the fact that you're like, oh, I wanted to get rid of Castro, because I know a lot of people have said that in the past, and then all of a sudden he's really good again. Whatever. He's part of this team that's really good, and he's a key component because he gels with these guys very well, and that is important.
He's part of this team right now that's one win away from the World Series, and I've been just trying to ignore everyone on Twitter tweeting me about, what are we going to do with Todd Frazier in the offseason? What are we going to do with Chase Headley in the offseason? It's like, can I worry about that in a couple weeks? Can I just focus on the playoffs right now? They're stressful enough already. I don't need to worry about the Yankees getting under the salary cap next year as well.
Yeah, guys, let's all live in the moment. This is an unbelievable run the Yankees are making right now. Who gives a shit what they do next year right now? I don't care right now what happens next year. We have an entire offseason to talk about and think
so
about
much time
when
in the
hot stove happens. I mean, there's a long time. Trust me. We do a podcast every week. We know how long it is. There's a lot of time to talk about this stuff. But right now, live in the moment. Enjoy what we're watching, because these guys are really on an unprecedented run.
And I think I know there's still one win away, so I'm not counting. I keep saying that because I'm not.
I know. You don't want to be
the
guy.
I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to be that guy.
I don't want you to be the guy either, so just keep doing that.
I think it's fitting that they went through Cleveland, who they traded Andrew Miller to, and now they're going through Houston. They're playing Houston, who they traded Brian McCann and who Carlos Beltran is on. It's just so funny the way that this last year of Yankees baseball has worked out.
So does that mean if they were to advance, which is, you know, a long ways away, and I'm knocking on wood, if they were to advance, you'd rather them go through Chicago? Because
it would have to be Chicago.
We could just get payback for the Dodgers for letting the Red Sox off the hook with Carl Crawford and all the rest of those contracts. We could look at it both ways.
A lot of ties there with the Dodgers, especially because Dave Roberts is managing that team.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
And they did our boy Donnie Baseball dirty.
They did do our boy Donnie Baseball dirty. And Bellinger's dad was a Yankee. A lot of things going on over there.
yeah, that series is... the thing about this playoffs, I have not watched as much of the other teams just because we've been so invested in the Yankees. And that's actually something I miss, because playoff baseball is so good. And I love... You and I watched every game of last year's playoffs, even though the Yankees weren't in it. And we talked about that a lot. But because we every night are in it for 4 hours plus with the Yankees, between sitting on the edge of our seat or actually at the games and then doing this podcast after, just haven't had any time for any of the other games.
Well, let me give you the rundown on what's happening in the National League. The Dodgers are steamrolling everybody.
Yeah, I knew that.
They're just crushing everybody. I mean, they're not even letting people hang around. Have they lost a game? I don't think they have.
No, not yet.
So they're and Yu Darvish is going tonight.
Good.
So
I love it. I would hope they sweep the Cubs, and then the Yankees are going up against the Dodgers team.
If they win.
if they win, would already have gone through Cleveland, gone through Houston, the two best team in the American League, and then the best team in the National League. So there's nothing that is scaring me or these Yankees right now.
No, they're on a different level as far as confidence. And I love that mentality that these guys are just they don't know any better but to go out there and play baseball, and that's it. I love Greg. When you listen to Greg Bird's post game interviews, it seems like they get him every single game, and he's just so perfect with the he's got a little bit more personality with the Yankee rhetoric, but it's definitely their Yankee rhetoric. He just says it with more inflection, I think, and it just sounds a little bit more bubbly or whatever. But it's basically saying that. No, they're just going out there and playing baseball. I'm just going out here and playing baseball. Next day, just going to go out and play baseball. That's it.
I believe he said that he loves to play baseball. That's good.
We all love to play baseball.
That's his job, so that's a good thing.
We all love to play baseball. We love to hang out with each other. We love to be around each other every single day, and we're just going to go play baseball.
Here's the question. Who is more of the Yankees rhetoric, Tim or Judge?
Oh, it's Judge.
Did you hear what I think Verducci did a thing pregame? Because do you remember that play that actually saved the Yankees on that Gurriel bases clearing double? Judge comes in from right field last night, so this was game four, and backs up the play and ends up tagging out Gurriel. Remember that play?
Yes.
Verducci was talking about it pregame, that he asked Judge about that, and that the Yankees coaches drilled that into every one of their players in the minor leagues, to always back up plays, to always be hustling, to always be doing things the Derek Jeter kind of way. Anticipate where the ball is going to go and be there. And that's all Judge was thinking about on that play.
See, you're missing the great line, because there was a great line. I was watching that too. He said, "I was brainwashed by the Yankees player development system." That's amazing. That's such a great line. The fact that he was brainwashed by the Yankees player development system, and that they teach them these things, and that's how they go about their business. And obviously these guys are all, I love the fact that, we haven't talked about Judge doing press conferences in a while, but there's been many times in the playoffs now, and especially in the ALCS, when he's up on the podium talking and he gets a question that he doesn't quite, have an answer formulated completely in his head. So he just does like a 4 to 5 second pause and just literally collects his thoughts and then goes and answers it. And maybe he'll start it and be like, and then he'll like pause for 4 to 5 seconds, literally stop, look down, and then look up and just give you that smirk answer with that's complete textbook. I love it. I think it's phenomenal. It's so good.
If I were a Judge, I would just start pausing for like 15 seconds and see what people do.
To see how awkward it gets?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely been pausing more. Like, you could tell that he's trying to collect himself. And a couple of times he was up there with Frazier. It was just the two of them. And he was just fighting back smiles. Like, one of the reporters was, you could tell the guy was really old and probably smoked like a carton of cigarettes a day. And his voice was kind of funny. And you could just see Judge biting his tongue, because he was about to laugh at this guy's voice. It's just things like that. You could see like the kid in him, like trying to fight back the reaction that a 20-something kid would do, and try to be this poised professional athlete. It's pretty funny.
One guy who does not do any pauses before he speaks is Todd Frazier. He just lets it shoot from the hip. Whatever comes out of his mouth is that's what's being said on national TV.
Yeah, and it's usually awesome. It's usually awesome.
Any more thoughts from this game before we get out of here? We got we have an announcement too that we want to make sure everyone's aware of.
Yeah, it's the other thing about the game, real quick, the pitching. I mean, Canley was phenomenal. Probably the guy we didn't touch on too much, but he was really good. I mean, he looks like the guy he's been this entire postseason. Just lights out, pumped up to no extent, and he's a guy that I think this team really can trust and believe in, because he's been so freaking good and he's just such a competitor. I love it.
Were you at all upset that he had him go two innings? Obviously there's a day off between games five and six, so he'll be ready for game six, but only for probably one inning in game six.
Well, I mean, there was nobody else used, so everybody's ready. So that's why I was fine with it. And there is the day off, so no, I had no problem.
But it was a 5-5 lead. You could have, gone to Warren or somebody else just to make sure that you're not overworking somebody. I don't think it was the wrong move. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
How can you complain about something when the Yankees win 5-0?
Yeah, but, you can't.
But that's just one thing that might be a storyline going into the bullpen if they need a lot of outs out of their bullpen in Game 6.
I just don't think Canley is affected by that. I really don't.
He'll be good for one inning. And you figure with Severino on the mound, he's going to get you into that game, so you're not getting 23 outs out of your bullpen like you had to do in other games in this playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Like, I think it's fine. You got D-Rob fully rested. Obviously, Chapman fully rested. And Green fully rested.
Yeah, yeah. They're ready to go. They have every freaking bullet ready to go out of that bullpen. So a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence. They should have a lot of confidence in their pitching staff right now, too. I mean, they're just up and down the pitching staff has been so good.
And then if worst case scenario, the Yankees are in game seven, you got CeCe lined up. The biggest of big game pitchers, the stopper, who, if he pitches again, would be pitching after a Yankees loss, who's already 10-0 in those situations.
I mean, it's lining up beautifully. I'm really trying not to get ahead of myself here because they have two very important games in Houston, and Houston is fire at home. They're really good at home. So as good as we saw how the Yankees are at home, Houston is as good. Their offense clicks on a different level, and you know they're going to be pumped up for that game, especially with Verlander going. They're going to be pumped up, and they're going to try to be aggressive against Severino. So it's not going to be an easy game by any means.
Okay, here's the announcement.
I feel like you built this announcement up like it's going to be a really good thing, and now everybody's going to be very disappointed.
Announcements, voicemails are coming up. No, that's not the real announcement. There will be voicemails to end the show, and I'm sure they'll be on fire again. The pandemonium guy.
Pandemonium! Pandemonium! Panda-fucking-monium! I love it. Danny and England, you are my hero.
You see the Yankees Twitter tweeted out
pandemonium? It said pandemonium!
I think they listened.
They have to listen. That was inspired by Danny and England, no doubt about it.
That's too much of a coincidence. I'm sorry.
Nobody uses that word.
except Danny from England.
Except for Danny from England.
Yeah.
So, Danny, congratulations. You got
shout
the,
out to
the
whoever's
Yankees.
On
and,
the...
And shout out to the social media team from the Yankees who's listening to us.
Right.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Can you get us tickets for the World Series if they make it? If they make it?
Right.
Okay, here's the announcement. The next podcast will most likely be on Sunday, which will be after games 6 and 7. Scott and I both have a couple of things going on Friday. If we can make it work, if the Yankees move on to the World Series, we might be able to record a little something short, but most likely the next podcast will be on Sunday. And if the Yankees are going to the World Series, it'll be a freaking happy ass podcast. If not, there'll be a lot of stuff to unpack from two losses in games 6 and 7. Hopefully it does not come to that, however.
Yeah, if there is a game that there is some good news, we're going to try our damnedest to get on, but we just have a ton of things happening this weekend, unfortunately. If it is not something that's going our way, we don't want to talk about it anyway, so I don't really care if we wait, if they lose, personally. So
Yeah, we see the numbers. We know when people listen more.
Well, no, yeah, and the fact is, I don't really, you know, if it's a dead deal at that point, like, whatever, these guys will want to wait, too. Probably nobody wants to live through that again anyway. Anyway, that's not what we're expecting. We're expecting good things.
Stop bringing me
down
right
now. Good stuff is going to happen. I'm pumped up for it. But hopefully we could both, you know, sneak away and get something recorded for you guys.
Awesome. Enjoy these voicemails, and we will talk to you over the weekend.
Let's go, Yankees!
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out. Or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
I just wanted to say that throughout the whole ALDS and first couple games of the ALCS and all, everybody talks about Judge's strikeouts. But, you know, it seems like he's finally adjusting to being throwing breaking balls constantly. But the one thing that really shows me a lot about this team's character and what they have up and down this lineup is that they got guys like Gregorius picking these guys up. You know, Brett Gardner, the old veteran, picking these guys up. Keeping this team in it while guys like Sanchez and Judge find their way back, make adjustments. The last two pitches last night, I went back and looked at them, and they're both off breaking balls, the home run and the double. So, I mean, if that's to say something, maybe Judge is making some adjustments. I mean, if he did, I don't know, man. Astros going to be hurting. World Series, number 28.
Justin from Philly, Yankees win again. Let's go. Finally beat that bearded bastard. Let's beat Verlander game 6, and we go on to the World Series. Let's go, Yankees.
Just got out of a 100-question test. Took him 26 minutes to listen to the Yankees. Meanwhile, my phone's blowing up. Bird with the single, Judge with the clutch double. Go Yankees, baby. This is our postseason.
Yo, Kaya, who's your fucking daddy? Boys, can you believe it? The Yankees are one game away from the World Series. Let's just let that sink in for a moment. Did anybody think this team was going to go this far this year? This is incredible. I'm loving watching this team play. I'm going back to Houston. Let's get to Verlander. Let's not even let it get to a Game 7. Stevie on the mound. I'm pumped for this game. Friday night. Can't wait. Let's do it. Yankees all the way. Let's go.
Let's go, Yankees. Dallas Keuchel, who? Let's go, Yankees. Pinstripe pride, baby.
I don't have much to say. Is this fucking real life? This is... I can't believe this is actually happening. This is the most unbelievable, most surprised I've ever been as a Yankee fan. And win or lose the rest of the way, this has been one of the greatest rides I can possibly remember as a Yankee fan, including all five World Series they've won in my lifetime. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Paul in Harlem again. I've been to every home game so far this postseason, and when we scored that first run off of Keuchel, that was the loudest I've heard this stadium. This is our year. Let's go, Yankees.
3-2, baby. Took down that douchebag Keuchel. Told us the freaking Eagle Empire. Go sit down, you bearded weirdo. Next stop, Verlander. Let's go. World Series, baby. Let's go.
Hey, Garrett from California here. We beat up on Kluber. We beat up on Keuchel. Now with one more game, we're looking to beat up Kershaw. Beat up the 3Ks. Beat up the KKK one game at a time. Fuck the KKK. Fuck Boston. How's that 19th hole, Boston fans?
Yo, this is Matt from Denver. I'm so fucking hyped about this team. I swear to God. It's super fun to not have any expectations. These young guys, man, these dudes are fucking sick. And to lead them all off, to lead the team, Todd Frazier. Toddy fucking Frazier.
You know, with all this talk about the Yankees were supposed to be getting all involved in pitching, guess what? We took the Twins out. We weren't supposed to beat Cleveland, and then we knocked out Kluber twice. Hey, guess what? We weren't supposed to make it to the ALCS. And we didn't get Keuchel the first time, but we got him tonight, baby. And guess what? Verlander, we're coming for you, Bobby. We're coming, okay? Yankees, we're coming all the way. All the way to the World Series. We got this. Ciao, Baba.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.